Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is a service of the Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. For those who listen to our talk show on the internet and you have questions or comments, our email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. On the last program, I read Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 9 through 14, but didn't comment fully on them. So I'll read them again because they are so relevant to what's happening in the church today. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute, except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne seeking your grace to bless us here. We know that you are love, and we look to you for your love and your grace. Lord Jesus, we look to you to teach us as we look through the book of Jeremiah. Thank you for preserving it for these thousands of years. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. The word is like a fire, and it's like a hammer, it says right here in Jeremiah. So, Lord God, teach us, Lord Jesus, and bless us. We need your strength and your power. In Jesus' name we pray, Holy Father. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read 9 through 14 of chapter 23 of Jeremiah, and then comment on it. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of his holy words. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of a curse the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course of life is evil, and their might is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their way shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them, the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Notice that in verses 9 and 10, it is Jeremiah speaking, but in verses 11 through 14, Jeremiah is quoting Jehovah God Almighty. Jeremiah says in verse 9 that his heart is broken when he sees what is happening in Judah. He mentions the false prophets. He says his bones are shaking because he knows how God is holy, and he punishes sin. Verse 9 says, because of his holy words. Jeremiah has heard God's holy words make promises. He has promised condemnation to arrogant, disobedient, rebellious, and stubborn men and women. So he is fearful of what is going to happen to his country. I'm sure, brothers and sisters, that you are fearful of what God is going to do to our country because of the sin and ungodliness occurring in our land. Jeremiah says in verse 10 that the land is full of adulterers. He's speaking of spiritual adultery here, abandoning Jehovah God and worshiping Baal and other false gods, though no doubt physical adultery was also taking place. Because of all this sin, there is a curse on the land, resulting in a drought. their course of life, their everyday actions, their course is evil, and the might, the power, and the authority of the kings and prophets and priests and others who had authority, that might was used for evil and selfish gain, not for the good of the country. Now, in verse 11, Jeremiah records the words of Jehovah God. God says both prophet and priest are acting in a profane way in his house, in his temple. Therefore, he's going to bring disaster upon them. And verse 13, God turns his attention to the northern kingdom of Israel, the area of Samaria. He says, they, the prophets there, prophesied by Baal, causing the people there to sin. Then he turns back to the prophets of the southern kingdom of Judah. He says, they commit spiritual adultery. They walk in lies and strengthen the hands of evildoers. This is happening in America and around the world today. Some church leaders are condoning evil practices and promoting those who condone evil practices. So God says they are like Sodom and Gomorrah to him. Any questions or comments on verses 9 through 14? Questions or comments? All right, let's go to verses 15 through 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. You worthless, they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. In these verses, just as in the previous verses, sometimes Jeremiah is quoting God directly, and sometimes Jeremiah is speaking under the inspiration of God. In verses 15 through 17, Jeremiah is quoting God directly. God says he is going to feed the prophets wormwood and make them drink gall. Wormwood was an herb, a bitter herb, to the taste, and also poisonous. The water from the plant gall was also poisonous. In other words, God would cause them to die for their false prophecies, which is what Moses commanded for false prophets. Another word for profaneness in verse 15 is pollution. People's thinking, their perception of right and wrong, their expectations for the future had all been polluted by false prophets. They would pay with death. Worthless in verse 16 may be translated vain. The idea here is comparable to Ecclesiastes 12:8, where Solomon says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "all is vanity." The words of the false prophets would lead to vanity, lead to disillusionment, disappointment, sorrow. And look at what God says about the people who listen to the false prophets. He says they, quote, "despise me," end quote. God looks on the heart, and he says they despise him. They would probably deny that they despise God, but God sees their hearts. He also says that they walk according to the dictates of their own hearts. Then Jeremiah implies that few, if any, in Judah are taking God's word seriously. He asked the question in verse 18, quote, "Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word?" End quote. He says God is sending a violent whirlwind which will fall on the head of the wicked, and that his anger will not turn back until he has performed all he intended to do. Latter days, in verse 20, may mean when the people are in Babylonian captivity, then they will understand perfectly what has been on the mind and heart of God Almighty. God speaks in verses 21 and 22 and says, "He has not sent the false prophets, yet they speak to the people." He says if they had stood in his counsel, they would have turned the people from their evil ways. Any questions or comments on verses 15 through 22?
This is Sister Denise. I'd just like to make a comment. We are living in the days where, the word is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Even a sinner knows that there's darkness on the earth because of the massive killing and murders and all type of havoc that goes on right in the inner city. People are robbing folks. People are being murdered. It's just a lot of darkness right now, but they also have a side, because if they can sit around and have lunch and have wine or drink beer, they know, and they're talking about what is going on the earth. And they know God. It's just like when Aaron knew God. He knew God, but yet when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, he had got the people together to get all their jewelry and everything so they can have a great party. And here we have an anointed labor. Aaron was the one that got the people really to do great sinning. And, I mean, they did a whole lot of stuff. Only God knows what they did, because it made them so angry. But here today, and it's not like the average human is not ignorant of God or know some of the great stories that have come down through centuries about God, but the thing is this, here God is just illustrating to us, because we're reading the Word of God, how his anger can just be ignited, because he's constantly warning, constantly telling us, what they should stop doing and turn from their wicked ways. And then he sent his son, Jesus, to be the propitiation for our sins. We know that Jesus is the answer. Christians know that Jesus is the answer. And many of them don't even open their mouths. They don't even give their testimonies. And it's one thing to just pray, and prayer is very essential, because we're in a spiritual world. Even though we see things in the physical and natural, we're in a spiritual world. We as Christians have to know who we are in this hour, and we need to continue to decree and declare the word to many people. Because we don't know what God might do. We see people, we see in some things like on YouTube, the crickets coming out. You see locusts is coming out in some lands. There's famines. There's things that are not in the nightly news. But, yes, God is slowly, it's like the pot is simmering.
We have a minute left.
Is simmering. Thank you. Minute left. Thank you.
Well, who said we have a minute left?
I have no idea. God bless you.
I need to know what chapter we're in.
We're in chapter 23.
Thank you.
We're in chapter 23. And we are commenting on, we just finished commenting on verses up to verse 23. We're getting ready to go to verses 23 through 32. But there is no time limit on comments. But we do have a half an hour. And so please make your comments brief. But I'm not asking anyone to cut back on your comments.
Oh, are you still doing comments? I'm sorry.
Yes, comments.
Hi, this is Regina.
Yes,
hey, guys. I love what I caught what Sister Denise was saying about that, and I, like all of us were just right one in the spirit with that, because, pardon me if I sound like I'm in like a well, but listen, the Lord has us in a way that right now that we're interceding. I know what many of us are, some of us are different, whatever, right? But check it out. It's like us, I can say for myself, if you go back and forth pleading an intercession for, yes, what's going on now in everyday life, okay? And the Lord knows of his people that are in the land. So, but here it is that we that know the power of God, okay, and do experience it on some levels, okay? We've been praying for God's mercy on everyone, okay? And it's like the land has been, yeah, we're just going through this turmoil, but I'm going to go ahead and get off here so you can carry on. But I totally agree with it. Awesome.
Any more comments on verses 15 through 22? All right, we are in Jeremiah 23, and we are going to look at verses 23 through 32. 23 through 32. God says, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one, from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. God asks rhetorical questions in verses 23 and 24, questions aimed at showing how foolish the false prophets were to misrepresent him. Don't they know that he is near and therefore know what they are doing? Don't they know he sees everything? After all, he fills heaven and earth. In verse 28, God compares the false prophet's dream to his word. He says their prophecies, their dreams, are like the inedible chaff that surrounds the grain. But his word is like the grain of wheat. He asks, isn't his word like a fire and like a hammer? Effective and powerful, then God says, The false prophets are repeating lies that have already been told to the people. So God says in verse 31 that he is against the false prophets. They seem to be shortening the usual, quote, thus says the Lord, or thus says Jehovah. They are shortening that to he says. So they would say, he says so and so and so and so. They wouldn't precede it by saying, thus says the Lord. This is showing disrespect toward God. He says in verse 32 that he is against those who prophesy false dreams. They are speaking lies and are acting recklessly. Any questions or comments on verses 23 through 32? Questions or comments? If not, let's look at verses 33 through 40. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say, the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered, and what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracle. For you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? And what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you and forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. So God, in these verses, the people, including the prophets and the priests, they had become so ungodly that many of them mocked Jeremiah, asking him, what was the latest oracle from the Lord? But the Bible says elsewhere that God is not mocked. So God tells Jeremiah to respond by saying, what oracle? I will even forsake you. These are strong words, a strong, stinging reply. God tells Jeremiah to tell the people that whoever uses the phrase, the oracle of the Lord, shall be punished, and his household. This is because the people were using this phrase sarcastically to put down Jeremiah and the words the Lord had given him. Then God says, because the people continue to say the oracle of the Lord, when he sent word through Jeremiah to stop saying this, therefore he would forget and forsake them and the city he had given them. The message I see over and over in the Bible is, don't play around with the Lord. Any questions or comments on verses 33 through 40?
Questions or comments? I'd just like to make this comment. You know, being in the last days, we as Christians, we should be elevated in our wisdom toward the things of God to recognize in spirituality even a false prophet, because you have people that come to churches because they have a master's degree or PhD and all this, and they give their profound word, you have to really listen, because a lot of things that God has preached in the Bible, they're not even preached. Many pastors, men or women, they'll give you a sunshine message. They'll give you a message to tickle your ears, to make you feel good about yourself. But if it's not applicable to the Word of God and not on the Word of God in terms of what is really written, you can't, you know, you really have to discern. You have to be mindful to discern, because many people today, because they're not delivered and they are doing the works of God, you know, they bring their own flesh or their self into the message, you know. So you got to be wise, because false prophets are on the earth, and they've been on the earth since the beginning of time. But there's a great rising of them in this hour, and you have to be able to be discernful to recognize them, even in the church, Sunday school, whatever. Because if people, we are Christians, we're supposed to walk in love, and we're supposed to be like Jesus. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Denise. Any other questions or comments on these verses we just read?
Oh, yes, just a quick comment. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, yes. I just had a comment. Amen, Sister. And that was, I mean, you know, the same kind of, I've heard of what you just said, Sister Denise. Awesome. And praise God. And likewise, our pastor today in Bible study touched on some things that are similar like that. So, you know, we can't be fooling around with God, and he can't be mocked. I don't know what to tell nobody, because we just pray that they come to the right senses, and really repentance is big right now. So, yes and amen. Awesome teaching.
Thank you, Sister Janet. Any other questions or comments? Verses 33 through 40. Okay, we've got about 3 minutes. We want to look at the first seven verses of chapter 24. First seven verses. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord, after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs. The good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad." Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." Okay, we're going to have to stop there. We've just gotten into the first basket, which was the basket of good figs. And we'll look at this the next time and then go into the bad figs, which were in the second basket, and we'll see what that means. So thank you very much, everyone who called in. God bless you all.